Max TV today.
Valley Talk on News Talk 1580 KGAL.
Welcome to KGAL's Valley Talk. Jeff McMahon, your host, joined today by the Executive Director of the Chamber of Commerce in Lebanon, Rebecca Grizzle. Good morning, Rebecca. And by the way, you're going to hear her voice through her mask.
Good morning. Hopefully it sounds okay, but it does sound a little muffled, doesn't it?
A little bit, but we understand why.
Yeah.
And Rebecca and I are 6 feet apart, as we are when Hassel Herring comes in as well. We keep that distance. And we were even prepared to have Cassie Cruz, the Main Street Manager from Lebanon Downtown Association, but Cassie is not able to join us this morning.
Oh, she sprained her ankle, or that's probably HIPAA. It's probably against the law for me to share that.
Whoops. Uh-oh. Oh,
well, she would share that.
Yeah.
She did something. I don't know what she did.
Yeah. So we wish her a very quick recovery and hope she's doing okay. Cassie's a wonderful person and certainly a champion of Lebanon downtown.
She really has been. If you're on Facebook at all, you can see how much she's tried to keep different businesses and their practices, just like we're doing at the Chamber. You know, she's really trying to champion that. Look, there are still ways that people are trying to do business creatively downtown. And so she does that on behalf of the Lebanon Downtown Association. She does it really well.
Rebecca is also a member of the Lebanon City Council.
Correct.
And you've, I'm guessing, been having meetings via Zoom or some other video conferencing.
Yeah. Zoom is pretty much my life right now.
Yeah, lots of Zoom meetings.
Huh? Lots of Zoom meetings. And Zoom happy hours and Zoom everything. City Council has been meeting on Zoom, and yesterday we had an executive session on GoToMeeting, and so we're trying to still meet and take care of business as best we can. It's been interesting.
You know, when I was a kid, Dick Tracy was still around.
Oh my gosh.
I know, I'm old. I'm really old, Becky.
Wow.
So Rebecca is just a young pup. She doesn't know about Dick Tracy. What the heck is Dick Tracy? She's saying to herself. Well, anyway, and he had this two-way wristwatch that he wore. That's what they called it, the two-way wristwatch. And he could talk to the chief of police and get updates and give updates via that, you know. But nowadays, that's really true. We have all this stuff. And multiple people can get together and chat and see each other all at once, thanks to the internet and that amazing technology. We've had several family gatherings like that, and they've been joyous, wonderful.
Yeah, we've actually, in my family, been doing that, and we talk much more than we would normally, especially as a group. And so that's been lovely. But I think, thank goodness, this happened. You know, as bad as everything is, and woe is me, And certainly we have genuine, deep, genuine problems in society today with this virus. But thank God we had the internet. Thank God we had Zoom. Thank goodness I was able to pack up my computer, take it home. I actually had to take it to the mayor's house and get it outfitted for Wi-Fi, and take it to my house and set up shop and try to go about the business of running the chamber myself from my office. And Mary packed up, and she is working from home as well. So she's our office
Mary
manager.
Mary Garner she's talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah. Who, by the way, kudos to her. I think you may have given her a tip of the cap already on another visit, but she deserves another one. During the gap between Shelley Garrett and you taking over, Mary stepped up and was just superwoman. It was amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It was, she really did amazing. And she, and I want to mention, since we're talking about that, tomorrow is actually the 1 year anniversary of our previous executive director, Shelley Garrett. So many of you know, and she was very integrated into this radio station. She worked here for a long time.
She did.
This station, Charlie, all of you were extremely dear to her. And she's been gone for a year already. It's
hard to imagine it's been a year.
It blows my mind. I was just having a conversation this morning with my husband, and we were talking about that, and he said, how do you think Shelley would have handled this? And I said, you know, short of the technology, that would have been a little more challenging for her. But she would have steered the chamber beautifully. I mean, she really had a great leadership for Lebanon, and she would have handled this beautifully. And sometimes I've had conversations with her of like, you know, what, you know, I talked to her, what do I do and what can I do? And there's a tendency to feel helpless if you allow yourself to feel helpless.
But sure.
I have to remind myself that I'm responsible for my attitude.
Yes.
And I am not a victim. Things happen, and it's not what happens to you. It's what you do about the things happening to you that counts. And so I'm trying to keep those things in mind, but Shelley has definitely been ever present in my mind through this whole time. And this morning I had the realization, oh my goodness, a year ago I was in New Orleans, which means it's been a year since Shelley passed, and yes, tomorrow is that day.
You've had some eventful trips away from home.
Yes.
You really have. We're talking with Rebecca Grizzle, Executive Director of the Lebanon Chamber of Commerce. And Rebecca is wearing her mask today on air, and we are 6 feet apart in studio. It's important to make sure you understand about that. But Rebecca not only found out about Shelley's passing while she was on a trip in New Orleans a year ago, but it's been like another year or two prior. You were on vacation in Las Vegas, or at a meeting
yes,
actually, for your former employer. You were in Las Vegas in the actual hotel, I think Mandalay Bay, is that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah, where that huge mass shooting occurred from,
yes,
just literally kind of down and around, down the hall and around the corner from where you, that's where
yes,
the shooter was
it
at.
Was.
That's bizarre.
Oh,
you were there at the time.
It was so unreal. I mean, they keep showing videos on the news. That's been on my mind lately.
Yeah.
When they show the empty, you know, Fifth Avenue in downtown New York City, empty,
yes,
or L.A. or and they've shown a lot of Las Vegas and have the Strip have no cars on it. And we walked on the Strip. So we were in the Four Seasons Hotel, which is the Mandalay Bay. And just so we were three floors above the shooter's room, and luckily on the other side. So we didn't witness the carnage. We had been out and had taken an Uber back, gone up to the room. And about 10 minutes after we got up to our room, the shooting started. I was asleep. I literally walked up to the room, walked over to the bed, boom, I was out. And my niece got in the shower, and when she got out of the shower, she just took a quick shower, got out, and she could hear bam, ba bam, ba bam, ba bam, ba bam, and she thought it was construction.
Oh, but she was actually hearing
so
the shooter
like,
firing.
So she's like, Vegas, you know, she was just, but it was shooting, and we would find that out later. And the next day, and we're stuck. They shut the airport down.
Right.
And so we're going nowhere, and they shut the Strip down, and it was brutal. I mean, it was emotionally brutal for a woman who rarely is emotional.
Yeah.
That was
very
difficult.
You really felt this, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, you're milling around. What do I do? And literally you're watching people who have lost somebody or was a part of that carnage, or ran for their life, or was sequestered in a basement. I mean, it really makes you think. So I'm very oriented now when I go into any kind of venue to be close to an emergency exit.
You think about that now, do you?
I do.
Wow.
It stays with me, and I'm kind of a prepper anyway, in a mindset of making sure I've got, you know, 3 months of, I don't even want to tell the general planet how much of a prepper I am or am not,
but you are,
I
you
am,
like to
I
be
do,
prepared.
I'm a preparer. And so I do think about that now, but yeah, that was that trip. I think the trip before that was the trip in Mexico where I stepped on sea urchins and skewered both of my feet with that. So yeah, I tend to have a lot of fun.
When you go on vacation. Yeah. Vacation for you is
adventure,
no vacation.
Adventure follows me.
Yeah, apparently so. So what is the typical day in the midst of the coronavirus crisis here? What's a typical day for Rebecca Grizzle? You get up in the morning, what happens? Or do you even get up in the morning?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm a creature of habit, and so, you know, generally it's a lot of reading, and it's a lot of paying attention to what's going on with legislators. It's checking in with, you know, state rep to see what she's got going on. Jeff Merkley puts a lot of information out, and he's of course dealing with the virus nationally, and and staying tuned to the Oregon State Chamber of Commerce and the Western Association Chamber executives. It's really trying to just stay on top of. Every day is different, right? Every day something changes. Yesterday, masks do you no good. Today we all need a mask, right? So I mean, the rules change. Everyone wants to know, when are we going to open up business? What does that look like? And so I'm trying to pay attention to the governor yesterday gave a press conference, and we had a city council meeting at the time, so I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it in its entirety, but so it's trying to, for the most part, trying to stay up on top of all of that. We at the Chamber of Commerce are maintaining a list also of COVID-19 business practices. So there's all kinds of businesses, chamber businesses that are, you know, we all know, look, you can't go into a restaurant, but most of our restaurants are doing takeout. And so how do you contact the restaurant, and what are their hours, and what does that look like for you to be able to support
them? Last
time
you were on with Cassie, you were saying that you were going to have some of that information posted.
It is online.
Yeah. So tell us how we get to that.
So you can go to our website at Lebanon-chamber.org. And it's our very first news story. We'll contain a link to that. So I have people sending me updates every day. I'll go update whatever. That's time and date stamped. So like the last time somebody sent me an update was Monday. And so that we can connect businesses with consumers as best and safely as possible as you can in this environment. So, you know, we're doing a lot of that. And then beyond that, there's Zoom meetings. I am trying to keep our meetings going as best as we can through Zoom.
Very good. We have a whole lot of businesses that are either totally or partially, shut down. For the ones that have stayed open, let's go beyond restaurants. We can talk restaurants. That's great, but. Other businesses have found creative ways of doing things and staying open. What would be examples you can think of in Lebanon and or beyond? Because the Lebanon Chamber of Commerce has members all around. You know, what are some of the things you've heard?
A lot of like porch drop-offs. A lot of companies that normally wouldn't consider doing delivery will do delivery. So you can pay remotely and then just have something delivered. And people really have gone out of their way to show you what kinds of safe practices. Look, here's how we clean. Here's how we do whatever the business is. So a lot of pickups, a lot of, I want to say Let It Bead downtown, Ira. She's just so fabulous. And she just literally, she just makes a bunch of, maybe today she's making necklaces, and she makes them and she posts them. I've gotten sucked into some of her beautiful rock stuff. And so what I do is just pay her for it. And she's got a paper bag in her business. I know you can go and pick it up, but I'm like, look, there's no reason to pick it up. You know, she's going to shove other things in my face during this coronavirus. Just add it to my bag and I'll pick it up when this is over and I can go pick up. But she does business, and people will be like, I'll take the green one second from the left, and then she'll put it aside and people pay her, and then they can go pick that up safely.
Sure.
So that's just some examples of what people are doing. People get so creative. I love seeing the creative videos. Have you seen like the Growler? They've been having fun with with making videos and
I'm gonna have to check those out.
Yeah. Oh, and the other one, Shmita, is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know how long they're going to do this, but for the last week and a half, I think, something along those lines. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they do a Facebook Live, and they've been interviewing their staff, and you get to know them in a way that's like, I feel like I know them. I feel much more connected. And I think, what a brilliant thing to do.
Brilliant idea.
I mean, we got, you know, 2 in the afternoon. Most of my stuff is caught up. I'm, you know, scrounging for something productive to
You've
do.
You've probably already watched the Tiger Show or whatever.
Shamefully did watch The Tiger King. I did. And goodness.
Did she murder her husband?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think she did it.
Do you think? Did you watch it?
Watched a lot of it. Not all of
it's,
it. Yeah, I think she did it.
It's entirely possible. I mean, people don't just disappear like that.
But they'll never be able to catch her, even if they reopen that. There's no way.
Well, with the evidence
she did do it,
completely
she
gone, I mean.
Yeah.
That's and how do you get evidence completely gone? Well, you eat it. So
that's right.
We have a tiger eat it. So, yeah, that will be one of the things. I've actually been really tempted to buy a Tiger King quarantine. I was quarantined with a Tiger King shirt or something like that to commemorate the fact that this all happened. yeah.
How about that? Well, a lot of creative ways of staying in business. A lot of people to applaud. And there's also the issue of some folks, it's been tough enough for them, and they were already operating on a fairly low profit margin, that they may or may not be able to come back from this, depending on how much longer it lasts.
Isn't that
the sad
truth?
Yeah.
It is tragic to see. And who knows when this shakes up and we get out the other side, because I do believe we're going to get out the other side. And we will be strong again. I'm hoping that some of the people that had to walk away will find the courage and the capital to dig back in. And for myself, and I hope that these businesses, I hope every business and everybody personally, I have a list of lessons learned. I actually have a written list of things that... that maybe I didn't have enough, you know, you should have 3 to 6 months of saved for your bills. I didn't have quite that much saved. You should have 3 months of food. You should have a way, you know, just for general emergencies. So this could have been the great earthquake that's coming.
Could have been.
And that would have been immediate. Whatever supplies you have today, Jeff, stored in your attic for emergency, is what you have. We wouldn't have this thing where toilet paper is a big deal and water is a big deal. I mean, it would be, but it would be over in a flash, because whatever the stores have would be what they had.
That's right.
So generally, I look at everything. I look at my shampoo and I say, if I had an earthquake today, how long could I wash my hair? You know, could I wash my hair for 6 months until the supply chain gets back up and running? So I have my own list of lessons, and I hope that each business does the same, especially businesses that go out of business. I know it's not really anybody's fault, but being prepared is part of running a business, is part of running a house. And any lesson, if you could take one thing and learn it, what would it be? If you could take two things and learn it, oh, if only I would have not bought that new car, I would have had the money to be able to get through this better. Or,
right.
I mean, just find something that you can cling to move forward with positive action in your future. So that should, you know, this is a one-off right now, today. And we get over it, but it doesn't mean that we won't be sitting here 2 years from now doing the same thing. What did you do differently in your daily life that maybe that hit a little bit different for you next time?
So your encouragement is to make this a growing experience and maybe change some of the habits we might have had prior.
Yeah, and as far
for
as
the better.
A business bent for that, I really would encourage businesses, especially small mom and pop businesses. I mean, that's what we are in Lebanon. We're
made up of all that, right?
Yes.
That's the backbone.
And that's the most heartbreaking part. But we also have resources like through LBCC, the Small Business
Development Center. Right.
That I hope people use. If part of a business plan would have a contingency, do you have a business plan written? Even if you're in business today and because you just wanted to have a burger shop downtown and so you opened it, but you didn't write a business plan. You weren't ready for any contingencies. Maybe that's one of the things that you do. And you say, you know what? When we get going again, I'm going to do X. And maybe that X is really take advantage of it. It's free. It's free to use the LBCC Small Business Development Center. So, they do charge for some classes and things, but you can get free help. And I hope that people kind of take that to heart.
Good words there from both the executive director of the Lebanon Chamber of Commerce and also member of the Lebanon City Council, Rebecca Grizzle, with us here on Valley Talk today. Mm-hmm. So you've really left folks with a lot to think about. Let's just once again... leave them with a little bit about Shelley, because as you had mentioned early on in the program and prior to us going on the air, it's tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary that Shelley left us.
Yes.
And Shelley Garrett was an amazing woman who just has left her stamp all over Lebanon.
Yes.
And so maybe a little tribute to her just as we finish our time.
Yeah. Taking this position for me was a very daunting task because Shelley was well known and well loved, and a very good friend of mine, and we gave each other a lot of hard times, but it was in fun, and when she really needed something, she could call me, and when I really needed something, I could call her, and there's no doubt that her passing left a giant hole in the community. Mary did well. I'm trying to fill in on as far as, you know, her position at the chamber, but I will never be her. And
but you'll be you.
I'll
and that's
be me.
A good thing.
It can be a good thing, and I hope it is, but I do just think that we do well to pause to say we've been without her for a year, and I just want to acknowledge that and for all our sakes. Keep her alive a little.
She'll be on my mind a lot today now that I realize the occasion. So
she was a bossy thing.
Bless her heart, she was.
Yes.
But in a wonderful way.
Yes.
She could tell you something straight on, and you took it well, even though it was pretty darn direct.
Pretty much. she did. She was bold and brassy and awesome. And she, like I said, she loved this radio station. She loved Charlie. She loved all of
it. It was always, everything always lit up when she came around. Whenever she was here, it was something, just a little bit of extra jolt, you know, in the building. It was fun.
Yes. I want to tell the story really quick of can I talk about the Donna
sure.
Bella?
Oh, of course.
She, I remember she would read the ads for Donna Bella here on the radio and, there was something that they wanted her to say, a word that they wanted her to say that she said, I just can't say it. I cannot say it. She
couldn't
felt it was, it was inappropriate.
Oh. Oh,
something
oh.
to do with lingerie. I don't remember
what
it was.
That's what Donna Bella sells, basically.
Donna Bella lingerie in Corvallis on First Street in downtown Corvallis.
That's right, because Rebecca is now the voice of Donna
I am the voice of Donna Bella. And I love it. Well, she, and I loved it especially because she said, Rebecca, you've got to come in. You can say this word. Because I'm much more, we were both quite brassy, actually. But she was just worried about that her board would hear it and not like it. So I'm like, sure. So I came in and recorded that spot for her. And the Donna Bella people were like, oh, we like her better. And she was so upset.
Oh.
It's
like, you don't know who this is, but a guy named Wally Pipp was replaced by Lou Gehrig one day because Wally had a small injury or was sick, And Lou never gave the job back as first baseman of the Yankees. Yes, same idea.
It is. And she was like, oh, she said, and I think because I would always give her a hard time for how old she was, much like, you know, you're Dick Tracy old.
Yes, exactly.
And I think the quote was something like, you know, oh, we think she appeals to a much younger crowd. And so I never stopped getting joy out of that. And she never stopped giving me a hard time about that.
Do you remember the word? Because that's what's on everybody's mind now. What was the word that Shelly couldn't say?
I don't know. It was panties or something. I mean, it was something silly because I thought, oh, gosh, I had no problem doing that. And but she just got a little prudy over whatever word it was.
No, I bet she wishes, or she at that time wished she would have
went
ahead and
said it.
She was
a good sport about it, but it was a source of endless amusement between us. So I did enjoy that.
That's wonderful,
Shelly. I thought of her at the Biz Expo because this was the first Biz Expo that we lost. If we can talk a little bit about that for a second.
Sure. I'm open-ended, my friend. Just go.
All right.
It's fine.
So normally on April 14th, normally the second Tuesday in April, the Chamber would have hosted the Biz Expo at the River Center.
Sure.
And clearly that wasn't going to happen this year. That should have happened last week. And that was the first time I really knew that it was getting serious with Shelly. Mary had called me the day before as they're getting set up and said, Shelly's not doing well. I'm trying to get, she's talking nonsense over the phone. So she was trying to get Leroy to bring her to the hospital. And Mary said, I need help. And so I dropped my work and went down to the River Center and helped her get set up. And we moved.
I remember being at the River Center because we always broadcast from the location and not seeing Shelly. And I didn't know what was going on. I'm wondering, where's Shelly?
Yeah, we didn't broadcast it. Actually, Leroy had a hard time getting her to the hospital.
Oh.
She would not go. And she eventually did. And she was where she was for a week and a half before she passed away in the Corvallis Hospital. But clearly that's been on my mind a lot as we have the Biz Expo. We have rescheduled that for October 13th, I believe is what it is. And I'm really hoping, because I know through the summer, anything with large crowds is going to be no.
Yeah.
We would normally have our golf tournament on July 11th, and we have moved that to August 28th, which I hope will be a good date. If not, it's going to definitely have financial impacts for the chamber. Should we not be able to do both of those things, have a pretty significant fiduciary impact on our operations, but we'll take that as it comes. I do know there's some exciting things and some exciting news coming to Lebanon that I'm not allowed to talk about, so I won't. But there will be reason to rejoice and say, aren't we blessed in Lebanon specifically?
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
That's great. Isn't it nice? There's beautiful people. Lebanon has really been blessed in the last, I would say in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And that will continue, and there will be some rays of hope and sunshine that will be announced soon. So I'm excited about that. But as far as our the Chamber's events. Yeah, we are postponing those, and hopefully having them. Hopefully it is just postponed. Nothing is canceled yet.
Sure.
So,
boy, it's been fun to chat with you, Rebecca, and thanks for coming in. As folks who've been listening to Valley Talk lately have noticed, we've been having all of our guests via phone, other than Hassel Herring, who comes in and sits 6 feet apart as well.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming in and for taking the time. It's great to get the update.
Anytime.
Great to remember Shelly.
Yes.
And to appreciate you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. And when we do have some more, maybe I can come back when we do have some more things that are that are positive. That's what we need right now, Jeff.
We do.
We need more of that.
Yes. And our best to Cassie Cruz, who wasn't able to be with us. Heal up quick, friend.
Today's car care tip could make headlines. No, that's not right. What I meant to say is today's tip could make your headliner last longer. Stay tuned. I'll explain.
When you take your vehicle in for service, you expect the shop to fix the problem and get you back on the road. But how do you know if the technician who's working on your car has the training and experience to do the job right? Well, the next time you walk into an automotive service center, pause for a minute at the front door and look for a Blue Seal sticker. A Blue Seal from the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence means that the technicians in that shop have been tested and accredited by ASE to perform first-class automotive service. And ASE-certified technicians have to keep current on today's increasingly complex systems, because to stay certified, they have to be retested every few years. Most ASE-certified technicians proudly wear the blue and white ASE shoulder insignia, and many of the shops they work in display their technicians' credentials in the customer waiting area, listing their exact areas of expertise, such as brakes or engine repair. So look for that blue seal the next time your car needs work. It's a sure sign that you're going to get quality service.
Headliner is a term we use for the fabric that's attached to the ceiling of the passenger compartment in your car or truck. When a vehicle comes from the factory, the headliner is clean, smooth, and tight. On most vehicles, it stays pretty much the same for the life of the vehicle. But on some older cars, the headliner looks like an old tent. The fabric is hanging loosely from the ceiling. So why the difference? Well, above the headliner fabric and below the metal roof, there's an insulation panel. The fabric is usually held tightly to this panel with a special type of cement. When you see a sagging headliner, it's most likely the result of excessive heat building up over time inside the car and baking the glue. When the sun's out, crack those windows a bit to save your car's headliner. For the Car Care Council, I'm Roger Kwapik.
The Northwest's oldest and largest magazine for older adults, Northwest 50 Plus, is full of great information. This month's issue is all about your home and garden. You'll enjoy a great article about garden fitness. Ready to dig? You better stretch first. And Arts Care, the unique way art and music come together, and much more in this month's Northwest 50 Plus magazine. Pick up your free copy or subscribe and have it delivered to you. Also online at northwest50plus.com.
Lebanon shopping, it just makes sense.
Need a distinctive design for your organization or business? Hi, this is Yvette from Northwest Apparel and Graphics. From vinyl signs to screen printing and custom embroidery, we can do it all, and for a lot less than you'd expect. Look for our expanded showroom at the corner of Sherman and South Main Streets in downtown Lebanon, Northwest Apparel and Graphics.
This pandemic has certainly taken the shine off your jewelry and sometimes your sunny disposition. But never fear, Tremel's Jewelry will reopen soon. When that happens, expect a buffing job that will dazzle your gems, stones, and metal with a staff that can lighten your spirit. Be safe out there from your friends at Tremel's Jewelry.
Hello, this is Melissa with Curls and Pearls Salon and Spa. We are closed currently due to the pandemic. We will be open again as soon as we are able to, with health and safety being our first concern. We love our guests and hope to see you all again very soon.
Lebanon shopping, it just makes sense.
Your RV may feel like home, but when it comes to supplies and maintenance, it's really quite different. At Lassen RV, we carry everything you need to keep your RV in tip-top condition. And because we buy in volume, we pass our savings on to you. From caulking to sewer hoses to toilet paper, all specially made for RV living. Lassen RV Parts and Service, where friends send their friends. Just east of I-5 on Highway 20 in Albany and at LassenRV.com.
Want to really know more? Just point, click, and learn from the Mid-Valley's best website, KGAL.com.
We're speaking with Stephen Eberline. Steve is the American Red Cross's preparedness presenter for Prepare Out Loud. It's all about the challenge of a Cascadia earthquake and how we can rise to that challenge and be better prepared. With us on the line is Steve Eberline. Welcome to KGAL's Valley Talk, Steve.
Thank you very much for having me.
Glad to have you on, get to know you a little bit, and find out more about this topic, one that I know very little about. So this, I know, along with our listeners, we're really anxious to hear what you have to share about it.
People, I think, have an awareness of the earthquake risk and are eager, like you, to learn more about it, and especially what we should be doing to make sure that we're prepared to have the best outcome as individuals, families, and communities.
That is what you're looking to accomplish then with this, is to help people to be prepared just in case, right?
Oh, that's right. And just in case it's a little bit too light, we know that this is an event that is going to happen. If it doesn't happen during our generation, it's going to happen to our children or our grandchildren. And there's a lot of work that we need to do at the individual, household, community level to be ready for especially the aftermath of a Cascadia earthquake. We've only learned relatively recently that we're in one of the highest risk earthquake zones in the free world. And so there's a lot of cultural catch-up to do for us to be as ready as Chile or Japan, for example. And that's what Prepare Out Loud is all about. It's about raising awareness of what the Cascadia subduction zone is, the impact that it will have, and the response that we need to start taking as individuals, as Oregonians, to get ready.
Would you mind, Stephen, sharing with us a little bit about what the Cascadia subduction zone is?
A subduction zone earthquake, first of all, is a little bit different than a California earthquake, which are the earthquakes that we all generally understand. Subduction zone earthquakes happen when one large plate is slipping underneath another off the coast of Oregon, in this case. They're the type of earthquake boundaries that create 9-point earthquakes and that create tsunamis, which is very different than California. My personal interest in this topic comes from having survived a tsunami in Sri Lanka, where I was living with my wife in 2004, in the immediate aftermath of the Indonesian earthquake that caused a tsunami to reach 14 countries and take nearly 300,000 lives. So we're in the same kind of earthquake zone that you saw in 2004. With the Boxing Day tsunami, the same type that Japan experienced in 2011 with its great tsunami, the type that Alaska experienced back in 1964 for its 9.2 earthquake, which is the largest in North American history. So we're trying to get people ready not for a small disaster, but for a rather large one. And the difficulty is that none of us have experienced anything like this. So as a culture, to be ready for something of a scale that none of us has experienced is a special challenge, but one that we're up to.
Wow. That's fascinating that there's such a difference between the earthquakes that they have fairly often, comparatively speaking, in the Southern California area to the earthquake that eventually is going to happen here. Would you explain then the differences between this type of earthquake that you're talking about that we're having here and the type they have more often in California?
Sure. So in California, you've got the San Andreas Fault, where those two plates are meeting, and they're moving in opposite directions. And the San Andreas Fault travels virtually the entire length of California. But when it releases earthquakes, it releases the energy from just certain stretches of that fault line. It will release an earthquake, for example, in 1989 in San Francisco, earthquakes that impact a relatively small area. Despite doing a lot of damage, it impacts a smaller area because only a small portion of the fault line gives way. With a subduction zone earthquake, such as the Cascadia subduction zone, we've got a 600-mile fault line that, in the case of a 9-point earthquake, the entire fault line can give way.
Oh, my.
So that makes an impact zone that's much, much larger than a California earthquake. So in a 9-point earthquake scenario, you've got Albany and Eugene directly impacted, but you've also got Medford and Salem and Portland directly impacted, as well as Olympia and Vancouver, Washington, Seattle, and all the way up to Canada. The sheer geographic reach of these earthquakes makes them very difficult to respond to, because you've got 7 million people directly impacted at one time in need of aid and a compromised infrastructure. You see, you can't really deliver aid effectively along roads that have been basically destroyed by the earthquake itself. This is precisely the difficulty that we saw in Sri Lanka and the other 13 countries that were impacted after the 2004 earthquake, is the sheer number of people that needed aid, and the amount of aid that could be quickly delivered was compromised by the fact that roads themselves were taken down, which made it difficult to access people who really needed aid. That's why preparedness is so important. The fact that it's going to be very difficult to reach us after the earthquake means that we need to do everything that we can before this event to have the best possible outcome. And there's lots of things that we can do. That's what we're trying to raise awareness of.
We're talking with Stephen Eberlein. Steve is with the American Red Cross. He's the preparedness presenter. It sounds as though when an organization like the American Red Cross is warning people or encouraging people, might be a better word at this point, to be prepared on your own, take action on your own, and be ready in case this happens, that you are actually saying, look, because of the type of earthquake and the devastation caused by a subduction zone earthquake, it's very likely that the big, even professional and knowing what they're doing, these big response agencies such as American Red Cross aren't going to be able to actually help very much, at least at first. So you got to just be ready to kind of take care of yourself and maybe those around you.
We have volunteers throughout the state. We have about 2,500 volunteers across Oregon, Southwest Washington, who respond to disasters of all kinds, especially home fires, day in and day out. So, yes, we are a response agency, and one thing that we do understand is that the best outcome at the individual level is enjoyed by people who were prepared before the disaster. Right. There are a lot of things that you can do for yourself now that will be very difficult to do after a disaster, especially a large one like a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. Things like stocking up on water, making sure that you have vital medications, making sure that you have a written contact list of people both in your area and out of state so that you can coordinate the whereabouts of your loved ones. Things like securing your water heater to make sure that you're safeguarding the fresh water that you now have in your home, and also preventing the fire that can occur when water heater is tipped over during an earthquake. There are any number of things that you can do now to improve your outcome that will be virtually impossible to do the day after Cascadia. I often say that we solve most of our problems by doing one of three things or a combination of three things. Today, if you have a challenge, you're probably going to make a phone call to someone, or you're going to drive your car someplace, or you're going to buy something with a credit card. In the aftermath of an earthquake like this, it's going to be nearly impossible to drive your car. Your cell phone is not going to work for a number of different reasons. And the credit card you have in your pocket right now is not going to work because the electricity is out. So it makes it very difficult to meet our immediate needs after this event, which is why we take advantage of the things that we can do now. Because today you've got power over time and space in a way that we've never enjoyed in history, to purchase the things that we need, to take the actions that we can. So now is the time to start taking those actions, because the day after Cascadia, it's going to be too late.
When you talk about preparing and putting aside supplies, food, water, other supplies, what specific things should people be looking at? Like, for example, what types of food and what are we looking at as far as water, et cetera, that we should actually be setting aside, and how much?
That's great questions. Yeah, let's start with the vitals. Let's start with food, water, and medications. So food, of course, well, we don't know when this is going to happen. And it's always good to have an emergency supply of food, and you never know when you're going to need it. So one key thing about food is that it be shelf-stable. It needs to be something that is going to keep. So obviously bread is not going to be an emergency food item. So you want something that's got a 10-year greater shelf life, something that you actually want to eat. Nobody wants to eat army rations for the rest of their lives, right?
No.
And we also recommend it be something somewhat portable. In the case of an earthquake like this, it could be that you're not able to stay in your home, or your home may not be safe for the aftershock. So your ability to take your food supply and to move to the next place is, I think, necessary. Right there in your backyard, you've got Mountain House Foods that supplies foods that would be very adequate.
Right, which is a part of OFD Foods, right, the Oregon Freeze Dried, right.
Which is part of OFD, exactly. So it's a great way to support the local economy as well. As far as water, the importance here, I'd say, is redundancy. Just like food, we're looking for about 2 weeks of water per person in your home. With water, that comes out to 14 gallons of water per person. Now, you don't want to put all your water in one basket, so to speak. So, for example, your water heater might have about 80 gallons of water, which is enough for a family of five for 2 weeks. But if your water heater does fail or tips over because you haven't secured it, then you lose all of your fresh water. So we recommend, yes, securing your water heater, but also perhaps filling soda bottles with water from your tap and just replenishing those every 6 months. Things like life straws can be a good extra layer of water availability. You've got you You can even use water from the back of the cistern of your toilet if it's really an emergency. But just having a number of different water sources to make sure that if your water is compromised in any way, you've got a backup water supply is important.
Very good. Stephen, let me just ask you this real quick. What is the general rule of thumb on a bottle of water, either that you've bottled from the tap yourself using soda bottles or the bottle of water you might get from the grocery store stocking up? How long does that water stay viable to drink?
We recommend you change it out every 6 months just to make sure it stays fresh and just to make sure that you're actually paying attention to your water supply. Your water's not going to necessarily turn bad, quote-unquote, after a certain period of time, but certainly going to lose its freshness. So we recommend that every time you move your clocks forward or move your clocks back, it's time to change your water out, and it's time to take a look at your kit as well. Let's make sure that you've got all the things that you still need, because our lives can change a lot in 6 months. We might have a new baby. We might have another child who just got out of diapers. You might have a new glasses prescription. You might have a new medication regimen. Any number of things can change in 6 months. So that's the timeline at which we have you both switch out your water and review your emergency plan and review your kit as well.
Very good. The other thing that you had mentioned earlier was medical supplies. What are some of those things that people should have set aside and ready to go just in the event of this big earthquake?
A lot of us wear glasses, and what we recommend is when you age out of a prescription that you take that back up and that you use your old prescription as a backup in your kit. Actually, your kits, you should really have three kits, one at home, one in your car, one at work. As far as medications, this is a little bit trickier. It takes a little bit more forethought. A lot of us will wait till day 30 to refill even vital medications, such as for blood pressure or diabetes. If you can refill your prescription earlier, say on day 21, that gives you a little extra, those 9 days that you can put away in your kit to do this several times, and you can build up quickly several weeks or even several months' supply of a prescription that may not be immediately available to you after Cascadia.
That's a great idea.
Because the pharmacies are down, because your primary care physician is not available. That's what we recommend. And also, as far as just general health, after an event like this, want to make sure you have first aid kits, want to make sure that you have alcohol to disinfect any cuts. Just getting back to the fact that your primary care physician is not going to be immediately available to you. We need to make sure that things that would be simple to treat right now, such as a cut, don't become nasty, untreated infections in post-Cascadia environment.
Wow, it just sounds so chilling. It maybe isn't the right word, but it's just, well, I guess maybe that is the right word, thinking of a post-Cascadia environment. That's just, wow. That really sort of slaps you in the face like a cold, wet fish, you know.
Well, it is scary, which is part of the reason we need to talk about it, and it's part of the reason people are reluctant to talk about it. You're not in this alone. It feels like a very lonely journey, getting prepared, that you and your family are the only ones going through Cascadia. In fact, your neighbors are getting ready for this. Your place of worship is being ready for this. Your workplace should be getting ready for this. This really can be a community effort and should be a community effort, because your neighbor's level of preparedness will directly impact you. And this is something that they're worried about too. And they're looking for guidance, even from other neighbors, on the things that they should do. Getting to what we're trying to accomplish with the Prepare Out Loud movement, it's to raise awareness of Cascadia, to get people to accept it. It's making people understand and take the actions that they can to improve their outcome. But then there's a third component that's just important. We really need to start talking out loud about this. We need to show each other the steps that we're taking. It provides a bit of good peer pressure, because we're all in this together, and we look to each other, we look to our peers for an example of what the appropriate behavior is. If we all know that we're in this earthquake zone and we all stand together doing nothing, it's like telling each other that it's okay not to be prepared for an event that's larger than can be responded to quickly. And that's not okay. The appropriate response is, we've got time. There are things that we can do to improve the outcome of our families. There are things that we can do to improve the outcome of our neighbors and our places of worship and workplaces. So part of our responsibility is to take those actions and to support each other and to lead by example for our peer network. And that's part of what we're trying to accomplish with Prepare Out Loud. Let's improve our communication around this risk, because no matter how silent we are about it, it doesn't take away the risk itself. So let's do the common sense thing and get ready and start talking about it.
That's Stephen Eberlein. Stephen, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
In order to keep the Lebanon and surrounding community fed during this time of businesses closing, award-winning barbecue, JNC Barbecue and Catering, is open for takeouts, curbside, and delivery. Till further notice, award-winning barbecue. Call 541-258-7510. JNC Barbecue and Catering is open for takeouts, curbside, and delivery. Till further notice. Online at jcwoodfirebbq.com. 940 Main Street in Lebanon, next to Napa Auto Parts. Do you believe
in magic? Hi, this is Jeff McMahon. You've heard me mention many times that when I'm not on the radio, I work as a professional magician. With the coronavirus situation that we're all living through right now, we've all had things that we planned on doing or being a part of with groups of people that have been postponed or canceled. That certainly has been the case for performing artists such as myself. Once we do get through this, and I believe we will, I hope you'll keep me in mind as an entertainment solution for a wedding reception, a family reunion, for your business's company dinner or retreat, whether it be a stage show in front of a large group or intimate close-up magic that's so much fun. You can find out more at jeffmcmagic.com. That's www.jeffmcmagic.com. I hope to be entertaining you and yours sometime in the near future. In the meantime, let's all be safe and healthy.
CBS Eye on Veterans, presented by University of Maryland Global Campus. Special Forces veteran and journalist Jack Murphy shared some dark news he learned from his sources in the intelligence community about just how bad the coronavirus is in China.
And their assessment is that the number of dead in China is about 100 times greater than the numbers that the Chinese government is recording. Now, that puts you well into over a quarter million dead people. Those warehouses, they said they were hospitals. They were really just warehouses that the Chinese government built where they stuck people to die.
I'm Phil Briggs from ConnectingVets.com for CBS News.
Choose from 90-plus programs and specializations to accelerate your military or civilian career and find out how our dedicated military and veteran advisors can help you navigate your benefits. University of Maryland Global Campus. Find out how we're made for you. Visit umgc.edu.
The new moon is called Sinahi. It's also a distinctive piece of native jewelry patterned after the crescent moon. It's a beautiful name, spelled S-I-N-A-H-I. It's also the name of a business in the Valley. One of the very best landscape maintenance workers in the Valley, Jose Garcia is the project manager and owner of Sinahi Landscaping Maintenance. Year-round, full-service maintenance and special projects, all done with a smile. His clients are all smiles, too. Jose is involved with every job himself. He takes the time to do it right, and his contract rates are so reasonable, you can actually quit doing all that yard work yourself. Call for a free estimate, 928-6762. Sinahi Landscaping Maintenance, 928-6762. Like them on Facebook, and remember the name, S-I-N-A-H-I, Sinahi Landscaping Maintenance.
Think you're paying too much for insurance? Put Corwin Insurance to work for you. Corwin Insurance, your local, reliable, independent insurance agency for your personal or business needs. Since 1977, in Albany on Sanium Highway Southeast, across the street from Sizzler, or in downtown Corvallis on 4th between Jefferson and Adams. Check out their website, corwininsurance.com. That's C-O-R-W-I-N insurance.com. Or come in for a free quote today.
Locally owned and operated, this is the very independent News Talk 1580 KGAL, Lebanon, Albany, Corvallis.